Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Under center is Minshew. Play fake. Looking. Goes toward the end zone. There's James O'Shaughnessy. Touchdown! A 7-yard touchdown pass from Minshew to O'Shaughnessy. And Jacksonville strikes first on a Thursday night.
Jags radio with the call. Ugly game last night. Jacksonville gets their first win of the year. They are 1-2. The Titans fall to 1-2. 20-7 Jags. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. And if you're listening on radio.com, it is Sean and RJ on a football Friday as Gardner Minshew has a really nice start. Two touchdowns early on, and then all offense disappeared. There are some quarterbacks going into this year that were on the hot seat, okay? Compare the hot seat for Dak Prescott versus Jameis Winston versus Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota looked awful last night. You have to be petrified if you are the Titans organization with the number two pick in the draft. Same thing for Jameis. Maybe you're more scared if you are the Titans, then are the Buccaneers. We all know that Dak has the best comfort level. He's lapping them. Now, he also has the best setup by far and the best weapons and the best situation. But watching Marcus Mariota throw last night, yes, he was under siege. 9 sacks for Saxonville. Saxonville with 9 sacks. But watching Marcus Mariota and that Titans offense is putrid.
That is that to me is by far the hottest of the seats is Tennessee. And this is why you got to throw record with quarterback out the window. As Roy pointed out, the Titans have winning records in the last couple of seasons. It's just, you know, Marcus is not a major factor. Now, his team is probably pretty well balanced, comparatively speaking, to a lot of teams in the NFL. As one of our fan testers points out, they're the Cowboys with worse marketing. Like, they have a similar, it's a power run game type thing.
It was.
Yep. But so, you know, the Titans roster is probably not awful. It's boring. And Marcus is boring. Jameis has had a better year so far, and Jameis has not had a great year, but it's been a better year. So, you would rank it, Dak's got zero hot under his seat anyway. It's a cool seat. Jameis is just room temperature. And Marcus, I mean, he's about to light up with electricity through his veins.
Yeah. It was bad offense last night.
Yeah, but the thing everyone wants to talk about is Gardner Minshew, who's everyone is making him into the sensation. He's like the NFL's version of Jeremy Lin.
Can Nick Foles get his job back when he returns later this year?
This is how crazy it's been. The stat came out last night. Minshew has posted the highest completion percentage in his first three games in the Super Bowl era. And I'm like, whoa, who did he beat out? Rick Meyer, Trent Edwards, and John Kitna. You got to dig deep for that kind of stat.
Right. And you know what those guys had in common? They threw the ball 2 yards.
I mean, he is completing 74% of his passes. It's been for 204, 213, and 275.
But everyone's making a star out of him. Everyone wants to talk about Gardner Minshew, including Amy Lawrence. Last night on CBS Sports Radio right here on 105.3 The Fan, she was talking about his college days and decided to read some fan texts, just like the ones we receive here at 105.3 The Fan. But she really wasn't too clued in.
Kyle says on Twitter, my daughter goes to Washington State University. When Minshew was there, all the fans wore fake mustaches, and the girls had signs that said, I want a mustache ride. What is that? I don't even know if I want to know what that means. Is it innuendo that I'm too old to understand, too old and too uncool to understand? Should I have not read it on the air? Are you now going to dump that part of the show?
Because it's a family program. It's very heavily innuendoed.
Huh. I'm so glad I'm not cool. I'm so glad that I do not understand what the kids say these days.
Yeah, it's just a kid saying.
It's a kid saying.
Wow. You got to go ahead and use that as a drop. This is why bits work. Like, Gardner Minshew would not be talked about near this much if he didn't have that name and that mustache.
Right.
It's just, and he's living life as a bit, the way he dresses.
The shirt, yeah.
And his shirt, and it's just so much hype. I'm already over it.
And the bit was accentuated last night when they showed his dad. His dad, who looked like a pumped-up Eric Stone Street from Modern Family.
Jeez.
You've got to go see him. He is an instant meme, Gardner Minshew's dad.
By the way, why isn't that mustache getting you, like, hated? Because it wasn't that long ago that I think,
who has a hated mustache?
Well,
nobody.
I remember specifically, Baker. Like, Zach Mettenberger, just as one example. Oh, he grew his mustache out, and everybody around the league was like, what the hell are you growing this mustache out for? You haven't earned that right yet.
But Mettenberger looked like a state trooper in Cleveland. Ohio State trooper. Minshew looks like he's in Deadwood. He's an extra in Deadwood.
Yeah.
That's a cool mustache.
Dude, I think it is the difference between a blonde mustache and a dark mustache.
Yeah,
the dark mustache gets, man, that's BS.
But here's a perfect example for Gardner and why his completion percentage is so high. He threw 7 passes beyond 7 yards last night. Look at this. I mean, everything is within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage or not. And that's what he is right now.
So Minshew is a storyline. Jalen Ramsey is a storyline. We'll get to that in a second. He did not want to address trade talks after the game. He did before the game. We found out the real reason he wants out of Jacksonville. The other big storyline will be Tom Brady. And Joe Buck and Troy Aikman geeked out over this last night during the live broadcast when Tom Brady tweeted, "Too many penalties, just let us play." That's ironic.
Mm.
That will come back to haunt Tom Brady when Tom is seen crying and whining to the referee for roughing the passer penalties throughout the rest of his career.
Yep.
Because Tom Brady is known as the biggest whiner and crier when it comes to getting hit. So that's going to be really funny that Tom tweeted, "Just let us play." And then he followed that up with, "I'm turning off this game. I can't watch these ridiculous penalties anymore."
You know, when we talked about this yesterday, when Raekwon McMillan for the Dolphins said, a referee said to him last week, "Stay off Tom."
It's like James Harden tweeting the same thing.
Exactly. And there are certain, Tim Duncan, big complainer.
Back off, refs.
Yeah. It's like when you want to watch games that are free flowing unless you're playing in them. And then you want the calls to be ticky-tack.
So does Brady have a point? 877-881-1053. My guess is 95% of the Tolos are going to text in, yes, they agree with Tom. There were 15 penalties in the first half, 8 of which were for holding. There were 20 penalties total for the game. No flags were thrown in the third quarter. So Tom Brady controlling the NFL,
yeah,
tweeting that in the second quarter, no flags thrown in the third quarter. Now, the league told the officials to put an extra emphasis on holding in the offseason. That was a league mandate, okay?
Why?
The Titans were flagged 12 times. The 12 total penalties were the Titans' most since 2017. Entering last night, the highest total of holding penalties in a game was 11. There was a 66% increase for offensive holding through weeks 1 and 2 of this year. A 66% increase. Troy Aikman went off about it in a podcast yesterday, mm-hmm, and Tom Brady went off about it. Are you watching these games? And have you been watching them saying, "I can't take this, I can't stand this"? It's a humongous difference in terms of flags and penalties thrown. I haven't noticed it, honestly, in the Cowboy games, but I've also been enjoying 30-point blowouts.
Right. I haven't paid attention that much to it or really noticed it all that much. Because we're all focused, at least I am, on the pass interference stuff. You know, will they review it?
Right.
Holds to me happen on every play. You could call them on every play. That's the old adage. You can call a hold on every single play. I haven't really noticed that it's been way out of line. But the referees have got this brutal job. It really is. We get on them a lot, but they've got a brutal job.
I found myself, and I'm going to be in the 1% or less, defending the referees. We are all know-it-all hindsight refs in our on our couch. It's ridiculous. Like, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck get to show us replays three times, okay? And on the first, second, or third, in slow motion with ultimate camera angles and high-quality lens, then we make our decision and we're like, why didn't you call that? Why didn't you get that right? Perfect example. Last night, there was a roughing the passer penalty on number 44. What was the guy on Tennessee or Jacksonville?
Correa. He was on Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Carlos.
So Correa falls on the quarterback, and he got called for excessive force, putting the body weight on him too much. And when you watch the replay, he did a masterful job of going to the ground and, like, turning midair like the Matrix to not have his full body weight land on the quarterback. But you can only see that with the slow-mo replay. I guess I give props to the officials when there's a hold and we go back and look at it and you see the slightest, you see in the interior of the offensive line, the guard hold. And you see the infraction, and I'm like, wow, how did they see that? So I guess I've been opposite of saying, whoa, that was a legit holding call. That did take place. There is the arm on the shoulder. He's grabbing him when he's turned around. And I've been giving props to those little small calls that I could never see live. But we all love to sit here and be hindsight know-it-alls when we get replay.
Well, look, it's a job that's set up for failure by default. The job sets you up for failure.
I've always said one of the worst jobs in the entire world. Why would you ever want to be an umpire or referee?
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, Major League Baseball umpires make really, really good money. That might be the reason. You get to be on the field next to great, you know, all you know, Hall of Famers and interact with them. That there's an appeal to that. But my gosh, you get killed all the time. But a lot of these sports, basketball and the NFL in particular, I think it's an obsolete job. You know, with the guys are too fast. They need more officials. They need a fourth referee on the floor in basketball, and they probably need at least two more referees on a football field in order to limit what they have to look at, make it an easier job for them. Everyone's blocked out. Half the time these referees are blocked out in a basketball game. Throw an extra ref on the floor in basketball, put two more on a football field. Baseball, go to robot calling balls and strikes. It's pretty simple. But they don't want to pay the money. They don't want to pay an extra salary for each game in the NBA. They don't want to pay an extra salary or two for each game in the NFL, even though these leagues are making money hand over fist.
That's cheap.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that is cheap. Put as many people out there as you need.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? One of the worst things that take away from sports is questioning the officials and the referees. Why would you not want to eliminate that doubt? Why would you not want to eliminate that as a part of your sports evaluation where all of us think we're expert refs? Like, take that away from us.
Yeah, I mean, what happened in the Saints game last year, and we make, like,
That was egregious.
That's egregious. And I'm sorry, bad calls happen doesn't fly with me. It's not part of the game. Bad calls are not part of the game. What's part of the game is passes caught and not. Interceptions, fumbles. Outside human error of a bad call is not part of the game. And for a Saints fan, I can't even imagine what they went through. It's awful. It's egregious is the right word. Criminal might be a better word.
So you are blaming the refs for any missed calls.
Yeah, for that. Like, you know, I don't think, like, you know, your season should be lost. Like, I hate how cut and dry it is. Yeah, we just move on from the play like it never happened. I hate that. It doesn't sit well with me.
All right, so that was Tom Brady shutting it off last night. Autoflex leasing fan techs with a problem with the officials or not. I'm sure it's going to be 98%. Yes, they suck.
I'm not so quiet. From the 469, they don't miss many calls already. Adding more refs is a bad idea. Kind of a good point that they don't miss a lot of calls. It's just that the ones they miss, we focus on really intently. From the 956, come on, Chop, that roughing the passer call on Correa was absolutely BS.
I talked about that. So people are saying that you could
that
not,
you were right.
You could not watch live, okay? You could not watch that live and not think that he landed on the quarterback. And again, it's not their fault all the time. It's the league. The league is telling them extra emphasis on holding. We have to protect the quarterbacks. Don't allow them to land on him. So to me, there's like a proverbial gun to the head of throw the flag and make sure you call that as a penalty. You got to give him a break when you watch it in slow-mo. You know, when you sit there and say, just try to be balanced. When they get the call right and you see that verified in slow-mo, maybe try once or twice looking at the TV and going, whoa, they nailed that, instead of us just bitching nonstop about the ones that they missed.
And I just think it's dumb to emphasize on a particular call like holding. Like why? Why would you emphasize? How about you just focus on getting all the calls right?
Has Bill Belichick already reprogrammed Antonio Brown? Wait till you hear this next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.